Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Back in on the drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Do us a favor, lock in this phone number, 913-576-7610. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we'll ask the question, could it be that the Raiders are actually good? We'll also take a quick peek around the AFC West. But before we do all that, Rob, let's take a trip around the NFL.
Well, earlier today on Get Up, Marcus Spears was breaking down the play of Carson Wentz.
Highs are very high, lows are as bad as you can possibly get. Now, bear with me when I say this. This reminds me personally of Jameis Winston. How many times have we said Jameis Winston looks like a top five quarterback when he's playing at a high level? And then when he plays terrible and starts throwing interceptions, which Carson Wentz is doing this year.
C-Dot, is Carson Wentz to Jameis Winston a fair comparison?
Yo, I don't like that we do this. If you're the 10th through 20th quarterback in the NFL, we just call you Alex Smith. It doesn't matter how you play, you just get called Alex Smith. If you're the top draft pick that doesn't meet your potential, now you're going to be Jameis Winston. Let's not do Carson Wentz like that. Let's not call him turnover Jameis. He's been bad. He ain't been that bad, though.
It's also not something that's followed him his entire career, turning the ball over. So this year, he's been awful. 2 touchdowns and 4 picks for Carson Wentz. But last year, 27 touchdowns to 7 picks. You'll take that. The year before that, 21 touchdowns to 7 picks. That's not bad. The year before that, his MVP almost season when he got hurt and the Eagles went on to win the Super Bowl, he had 33 touchdowns to 7 picks. So it'll probably even it out. I mean, obviously, he's not taking care of the football the way that he's supposed to, but I don't think it's fair to compare to Jameis Winston. Jameis last year became the first member of the 30-30 club in NFL history with 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions. Carson Wentz has 39 career interceptions to 99 touchdowns. So it's not fair, although certainly not the trajectory this season that Carson Wentz was planning on heading in.
I mean, you know my stance when it comes to quarterbacks. The two best stats used to evaluate a player is completion percentage and yards per attempt. Carson is way down in both of those statistics. He's just not accurate. And I thought the one thing coming out of college that he was going to be able to do, especially after we saw him in the NFL, is he was going to be a guy who could complete 65% or higher of his passes. He's completing less than 60%. I mean, he's showing you Josh Allen type accuracy without any of the athleticism. That's a major problem.
For his career, he's been the guy you're describing. 64% completion. Like I said, 99 touchdowns to only 39 picks. But this year, yeah, it's been bad. 58% completion percentage, 2 touchdowns and 4 picks. Very rough start for Carson Wentz and the Eagles.
Two of the oldest quarterbacks in the NFL coming into the 2020 season both played in the AFC South with Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Terrez Paylor was on the show just a little bit ago, and he answered who has been better so far this season.
So far this season, we've seen a little bit more in Brady. He's pushed the ball downfield. He's actually made some throws. I've studied him very closely the last 2 weeks. And his interceptions were interceptions of communication and timing, not of like a lack of arm talent. What we haven't seen the Saints do consistently is push the ball down the field. And this is something that goes back to last year a little bit, too.
C-Dot, do you agree with Terrez and that Tom Brady's actually been better this year than Drew Brees?
I mean, I guess. He's been a little bit better. He has a little bit more left in the tank than Drew Brees. But does he? I mean, Drew Brees, you just can't win with this quarterback. We gave you the stat. He has two completions this year over 10 yards. He's only attempted seven passes. Like, you can't win a Super Bowl with a quarterback who protects the football that much when it comes to throwing the ball down the field. You just can't challenge modern defenses doing that. I think Brady has a little bit left more in the tank, but not much, especially because he has his full complement of weapons right now and Brees doesn't.
Of the 35-plus-year-old quarterbacks in the NFL right now, two of them do have gas left in the tank. It's not Brees or it's not Brady. I would say that I've been very impressed with Big Ben and Phillip Rivers. They both looked a little bit better than I actually expected through the first couple of weeks. You know who Tom Brady looks like? I'm sorry, you know who Drew Brees looks like? He looks like Tom Brady looked the second half of last year, when he didn't have the arm strength, when he didn't have the accuracy, and quite frankly, when he became a below-average quarterback. That's what Drew Brees looks like. He's not throwing the ball accurate, he's not throwing the ball long, and he's not winning football games. It looks a little bit like when Peyton Manning turned into ashes right in front of us Chiefs fans a couple of years ago. This is it for Drew Brees. I'm not saying they pull him and put the backup in. Who's the backup anyway? Who's the backup in New Orleans? Do they have an option right now?
I would assume they would put in Taysom Hill.
There's no way they're actually going with Taysom
Hill. He's a rich man's Lamar Jackson. Everyone knows that.
They've got to have an actual backup on the roster, right?
It's Jameis Winston.
Oh, yeah.
It is Jameis.
Good point, Rob. Then, no, I don't know if now's not the time to go with him.
Are we sure Jameis wouldn't be better?
You can't do that to Drew Brees.
I'm asking honestly.
I'm not saying no to your question. You can't do that to Drew Brees.
I'm asking seriously. Are we sure that Jameis, with a coach like Sean Payton, are we sure that he wouldn't be a better option?
He would be, but you start that next year. You tell Drew Brees you're done. You can go play for a different team if you want to, or you can just retire and then start the Hall of Fame clock. But there's no way next year they would choose Drew Brees over Jameis Winston. No way. Okay. Not now,
though. I just was curious.
Speaking of Tom Brady, his former team is now quarterbacked by a very healthy-looking Cam Newton. And that Patriot team has looked good early going in this season. With Cam playing like that, and New England's coaching staff, are they actually a Super Bowl contender?
I'm not ready to call them a Super Bowl contender just yet. I am willing to admit that I was wrong about the New England Patriots. I do want to see how Cam's body continues to hold up, and can he keep up this high level of play? But right now, the New England Patriots, with that defense, have a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. And with Cam healthy and running the football, they have a top 10 rushing attack in the NFL. We already know what Belichick is going to do with that defense. He's going to be the mad scientist and go in and tinker. But they have gotten much better quarterback play than any of us had anticipated. So I'm not ruling out that they put themselves in the conversation, but I do feel pretty confident the Patriots are going to make the playoffs.
Cam's been really, really good, and we know that Bill Belichick can coach up a quarterback, and he's certainly done that this far. I was listening to Cody and Gold earlier today, and they mentioned the fact that Jeff Driscoll signed a bigger offseason contract than Cam Newton, which is just crazy because Cam Newton has played like a top 10 quarterback. And that's what we kept saying. If he's healthy and he's a top 10 quarterback, then the Patriots are a dangerous team. But Rob's question was, are they a Super Bowl contender? And the way that I see it, let's say Cam gets his team to the playoffs. Well, then he's probably going to have to beat Lamar and Pat, or Pat and Lamar. And I don't know if Cam Newton or any quarterback is capable of doing that. So they're good. They're overachieving. I'm impressed with Cam, but Super Bowl contender, far from it.
Speaking of Jeff Driscoll, the Broncos have a new backup quarterback. It is Blake Bortles. Carrington, John Elway just can't help himself, can he?
Have you ever had a friend and he breaks up with a girl and then he brings another girl around and she looks almost identical to the one that he just broke up with?
Mm-hmm.
That's what John Elway does at quarterback. He clearly has a type. 6'5 or taller. Big, sturdy, quote-unquote, big-arm quarterbacks. How many of these guys is he going to get? Brock Osweiler, Blake Bortles, Drew Locke. It's a carbon copy of the same individual. Yeah, Flacco. Carbon copy of the same individual. And I love Drew. I hate throwing him in that category, but I got to.
You're talking about a doppelbanger is what you're talking about, a guy that goes after the same girl. And, yeah, I've had many friends like this. And that's exactly what the Broncos quarterback situation has been since John Elway's been there. Look, John Elway is one of the best quarterbacks of all time. But for whatever reason, he has no idea what a good quarterback looks like. You just gave us all the names, the Paxton Lynches, the Brock Osweilers, the Tim Tebows, the Trevor Siemians, the Joe Flaccos. Do we really think that this one's going to work out? No. It makes a lot of sense, though. Like, if you're a bad quarterback for some reason, John Elway wants you in the fold. So he needs at this point, he just needs a guy that's a warm body, and he's praying that Blake Bortles doesn't actually go out there and play a game for the Denver Broncos. As a Chiefs fan, I'd love to see it.
Somebody brought up Paxton Lynch. I forgot about Paxton Lynch. They drafted him in the first round.
They traded up for Paxton Lynch.
They drafted Tebow in the first round. They traded up to get Paxton
Lynch.
That
wasn't Elway, though, to be fair.
They got into a bidding war for Brock Osweiler. Like, the quarterback position has been handled as bad as any team in the NFL not named the Cleveland Browns since Peyton Manning was their quarterback. And let's not pretend like Peyton chose to play for the Broncos. A lot of this is crazy recruiting process. Peyton basically said, I'll talk to a couple of teams. The Broncos are one of them. He liked his visit with Elway, and he signed. Let's not give Elway too much credit for that. When he's had to go out there and try to find a quarterback or groom a quarterback, it's been an abject failure.
Last one, and I know it's early, but the NFL has 11 2-0 teams. Carrington, of those 11 2-0 teams, is the biggest surprise to you?
The Chicago Bears. I mean, they should have lost the game to the Lions. Like, let's just go ahead and call it what it is. They should have lost that game to the Detroit Lions. They didn't. They won that game. They also looked pretty impressive against the New York Giants. Now, I'm not here to say that the Bears are some legitimate contender. You asked me who is the biggest surprise to be. The Chicago Bears are 2-0.
No, it's either the Raiders or the Rams. And you tried to tell me about the Rams. I just wasn't buying what you were selling. And the Raiders, they haven't exactly beat the who's who. I don't think New Orleans is a great football team. I think Drew Brees is getting old right in front of us. But you beat the Saints. That's a pretty good win. They've been the last three NFC championship games. The Raiders, I figured at best, Rob, would be 1-1. They're 2-0. To me, that's been the biggest surprise.
Coming up next, Sean celebrated the wrong anniversary earlier today. I'll tell you what today is an anniversary of. And we have the national perspective of the Chiefs over the Chargers. We'll play it for you. Stick around. It's a drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
So on this date in 2007, one of the greatest coaching rants, most quoted coaching rants in sports history happened. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the radio.com app. And it's the anniversary that everybody is talking about. You put this in your mind of the machine. You guys might remember on this date in 2007, Mike Gundy said this.
Here's all that kid did. He goes to class. He's respectful to the media. He's respectful to the public. And he's a good kid. And he's not a professional athlete, and he doesn't deserve to be kicked when he's down. That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me.
So Mike Gundy said that on this date in 2007, and that's one of your favorite coaching rants. It's iconic. Everybody quotes it. Mike Gundy is a really good football coach, probably a top 20 football coach. He is 129-84 at his time at Oklahoma State. He's probably the best coach they've had in their history. But the thing people will remember Mike Gundy for the most is that quote he said on this date back in 2007. I'm here telling you that's not even the best soundbite from that day. You know how sometimes you go like on your own little tangents and then we just kind of let you cook. Like, you'll just start talking to yourself for about 15 or 20 seconds. And Rob and I realized that's just Sean's personality. He has to do that. He has to get it out of his system. You know how we do that sometime on this show?
Yeah, it happens.
I'm here telling you that Mike Patrick did the exact same thing during overtime of an SEC game. Sean, tell me when you hear this. This is not you.
I have an important question.
Go ahead.
What is Brittany doing with her life?
Who?
Brittany.
Brittany who?
Spears. What is she doing with her career?
Why do we care at this point? Is she here?
I don't think so.
Sean, tell me that's not you.
What was the score?
It was 23-20. It was overtime. It was overtime of an SEC game.
Did they flash to her on the screen or something?
She's not there.
They're
having a conversation about football, and Mike Patrick just out of nowhere. What's going on with Brittany? If that doesn't sound like this show, and I'm Todd Blackledge, I'm trying to talk about the game here.
But I need some context. I want to know what happened that day.
And then you'll make some reference, and then for about 30 seconds, you'll like ask yourself a question. You'll then answer your question and then say, never mind. That you And this show is perfectly described in these 25 seconds.
I have an important question.
Important, yes.
What is Brittany doing with her life?
Who?
Brittany.
Brittany who?
Spears. What is she doing with her career?
Why do you want to know during an overtime game? Tennessee's playing Alabama. It's 23-20. Why is this? Why, who is this important to other than Mike Patrick?
Something must have been going on in the world with Britney Spears. First of all, if it was, and somebody brings up Britney back then, she was on a one-name thing. She was like a Madonna or Ronaldinho during her prime. You could say Britney, and everybody knew we were talking about Britney Spears. How in the hell does Todd Blackledge say who? Britney, who? When was this? What year was this?
It was 2007.
In 2007, you could say Britney, and it doesn't require a who. Britney means Britney Spears back then.
But I guess just during it, if you're not even thinking about it, and I just ask you.
Maybe on his phone ring, he had Hit Me Baby One More Time, and his phone was ringing, and so he had Britney on the mind, and he thought, screw my job, this great overtime football game we're watching. How about Britney Spears? It
to be
the
fair,
best of us.
A quick Google search of Britney Spears 2007.
I bet something was happening, wasn't it?
It pops up. That is the year of her infamous meltdown where she
shaved her
head.
So that's exactly
But she shaved her head in February.
Here's what I think. Oh, well, that kills my theory.
This was 7 months later. Mike Patrick's like, what is going on?
Oh, here's what I think happened. Somebody probably made a reference to like it being a razor-thin margin or something like that. And then he thought he'd bring up a Britney Spears reference. I like it when the announcers bring up a pop culture reference. And if the color guy doesn't understand what he's talking about, that's his problem. Overtime might not be the appropriate time to do that.
I mean,
I appreciate it.
That's a question you ask in a blowout game. Like, that's a question you ask during Oklahoma, Kansas. You know what I mean? Fourth quarter, Kyler Murray scored a 6-touchdown. Baker Mayfield, he's grabbed his crotch 3 times. KU hasn't scored. That's when you can ask the question, hey, man, you know, I was on my phone. I was talking to my daughter. She had a question about Britney Spears. Not on third down of an overtime game when the team is trying to tie it up. That's not the time to bring up your random question about something that happened in February. I just wanted to say that because everybody talks about Mike Gundy's press conference. It was a good press conference. That's not the biggest story. That's not the best in this day in history. The best one is Mike Patrick randomly during a college football game asking about Britney Spears. That's the best clip of the day.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that the anniversary should be celebrated for Mike Gundy because there's a reason why nobody knew what you were about to play. Nobody remembered that. What Mike Gundy had to say is one of the more epic rants, especially for a college football coach that I can remember. Like, I can think of a lot of college basketball coaches going off. Bobby Knight comes to mind. I can think of a lot of NFL coaches. Jim Mora comes to mind. Herm Edwards comes to mind with the famous quotes. That's about as good as it gets, though.
Speaking of a crazy coach, here's Rex Ryan.
Well, I talked to Anthony Lynn last night, and obviously – it was a tough, tough decision because he knows what's on the other side, but he has more faith in that defense. He thinks he's got one of the best defenses in the league, and quite honestly, that defense had given Pat Mahomes more than he wanted up until that point. He also has 3 offensive linemen out. So, yes, I'm going to stand by Anthony Lynn and say he absolutely made the right call.
Well, Rex Ryan, standing by Anthony Lynn is why you're working on ESPN and not on somebody's sideline because it's a silly decision. It's an asinine position to defend. He says he knows what's on the other side, but he trusts his defense. I told you guys this yesterday. If you are an opposing coach in the NFL, I would trust my offense over the Chiefs' defense more than I would trust my defense against Kansas City's offense. That's not a bet. That's not a gamble that I'm willing to put in the hands of Patrick Mahomes. If you go for it on fourth down and you get stopped with the best play that you draw up, that's life and you can live with it because you took a fair gamble. Gambling that at the end of the game you're going to stop Patrick Mahomes is a losing bet. We have seen that time and time again. So Rex Ryan, if you want to stand by Anthony Lynn, that's perfectly fine. I'm sure there is enough room for him on NFL Live next year.
Yeah, if you want to give it back to Jimmy Garoppolo and make him drive down the field and beat you with the field goal or Teddy Bridgewater or Daniel Jones, that's fine. But doing that against Patrick Mahomes is insane. You should lose your job. You should be fired before you make it out to your car in the parking lot because it feels like in that situation, Carrington, you should have that one play that you've been saving that nobody's seen, the public hasn't seen, training camp, even when the fans are allowed to come out there, you don't show it. It's only behind closed doors. Remember the bowl game, Boise State versus Oklahoma? The crazy Statue of Liberty play. I know you're a Madden player. It comes down to the end of the game. I'm sure you got something cooked up. Hell, in the Super Bowl, when it came down to it, they had WASP, and it worked. How do the Chargers not have something that they think can get them 1 yard to give them the best chance to hold on to the football to win that game? Instead, they go, nah, we're just going to punt away to Patrick Mahomes. And then somebody like Rex Ryan defends it after seeing the result. It makes no sense to me.
That's the thing about this, too, is you're right. Everybody has that play that you draw up on Madden, that's right? Trusty. It's 3rd and 11. On 4th and 1, you know what I'm calling? HB counter. HB dive is what I'm calling. I trust my team enough. I trust Austin Eckler, who we just gave this money to. I trust Joshua Kelly. We've got one of the more athletic quarterbacks in the NFL. Let's run a quarterback sneak. Running a quarterback sneak in that scenario is better than punting the football. You can live with it if you do the correct play by the book in blackjack and you lose. Sometimes the dealer is just going to win. That's why they keep building more casinos. But you don't win any money by staying on a 15 when the dealer has a face card. That's just not the right play. Choosing to punt the ball back to Patrick Mahomes makes absolutely no sense.
They also punted it, and this is a small thing, with I want to say there were like 6 or 7 seconds left on the play clock. Try to draw them off. You know what I'm saying? If you're just going to punt the football and back yourself up 5 yards, and maybe you put them in better field goal shape, so maybe that's not the best idea. But I just felt like that entire game, especially the second half, and more specifically, once it got in the fourth quarter and overtime, you knew that because Andy Reid was on one sideline and because Anthony Lynn was on the other, what the result was going to be.
Coming up on the other side, we'll ask the question, could it be that the Raiders are actually good? We'll discuss it next. Stick around. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the radio.com app. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in the NFL and how even after 2 weeks, I think we can come to a conclusion in the AFC. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll take a trip out to Las Vegas and Denver to talk about two teams in the division that are having two very different goes of it. Las Vegas is actually playing well, and one of the bigger surprises in the NFL. Denver is one of the teams that have been absolutely bitten by the injury bug. So we'll head out to Las Vegas and Denver coming up in about 10 minutes. Let's start here with the Raiders. Could the Raiders actually be good? And let me preface what good means. I'm not here telling you that the Raiders are going to compete for the AFC West. I don't believe that in my soul. But I'm telling you, in a conference that does appear to be wide open when we're talking about wild card teams, were we off on the Raiders? We all like different teams in the AFC West. I was really high on the Broncos prior to all the injuries. Rob was really high on the Chargers potentially being a wild card team. Maybe we got it wrong, and maybe that team that's going to come out of the AFC West as a wild card team is the Las Vegas Raiders.
Or maybe they played the Carolina Panthers in week 1 and then played a New Orleans team with an old, decrepit, aging, about to turn into ash Drew Brees. Let's see what happens going forward. This is their schedule. The Raiders got the Patriots coming up on Sunday, and then they got the Bills, then they got the Chiefs, and then they got the Buccaneers. Those are four teams that I think most people would tell you at least 3 out of the 4 are going to end up in the postseason. Now, the schedule softens up again after that, and they got the Browns and the Chargers, but I wouldn't be surprised if after week 6, we're talking about a 2-4 Raiders team. Not to take away anything, they've gotten off to a good start. Derek Carr out-dueled Drew Brees yesterday. Their new stadium looked absolutely beautiful. But I don't think we can judge this team after 2 weeks based on who they've played and who they've got their next 4 games. But if they go out there and beat the Patriots this week, then I'll say the Raiders are for real. I doubt it happens.
I'm not as down on New Orleans maybe as you are. I mean, are they the team that we thought could be the 1 seed in the NFC? I'm not willing to say that, but I'm not willing to at least move to the fact that now I think New Orleans isn't a quality win. I thought they beat them pretty handedly yesterday. Now the Saints don't have Michael Thomas, but injuries are a part of the game. And to me, it wasn't the fact that Carr quote unquote out-dueled Drew Brees. It was, and Derek Carr looked good yesterday versus a defense that I think is pretty solid. Like I look at the Saints defense, I still think it's one of the best in the NFL. And Derek Carr was good yesterday, completed passes, didn't turn the football over, didn't look afraid in the pocket. We know they can run the football. If Derek Carr can keep giving you adequate play, there's certainly a lot of talent on that Raiders team. I don't want to oversell the Raiders after 2 weeks, but again, I'm looking at the potential wild card teams in the NFL. I would say either Baltimore or Pittsburgh, one of those teams are going to win the division. The other team's going to get the wild card spot. After that, the other two to me are completely up for grabs. Maybe you say the same thing about the AFC East with Buffalo and New England. There's a wild card spot that's open. You got to ask yourself at some point, who do you think's going to grab that other spot? Why can't it be the Raiders?
I do think they drafted well. A lot of credit goes to Mike Mayock. He's done a really good job the last couple of years in the draft, and now it's kind of starting to pan out with Josh Jacobs and Henry Ruggs and a lot of talent. You think about a guy like a Darren Waller. There's a lot of talent on the offensive side. I do think they're the second-best team in the division. That's true. I think it goes Kansas City and then the Raiders, mainly because the Chargers have faced a lot of injury concerns and bad coaching, and the Broncos, like you said, have just gotten decimated by injuries so far this year. So if we want to say they're the second-best team in the division, I'll give you that. If we want to say they've drafted well, I'll give you that. But if we want to call them a good football team, I think there's a lot of football teams right now, even in the AFC, that are a lot like the Raiders. I think you look at a team like the Indianapolis Colts. I think you look at a team like the Tennessee Titans. You look at a team like basically half that league right now, where just because they're off to a 2-0 start, kind of like Tennessee, for example, can you point to them and say that's a good football team, or just say that they've gotten off to a 2-0 start? There's a pretty big difference to me. And the Raiders, while they might sneak in the back door of the playoffs, I haven't seen enough from their quarterback, from their coach, from their defense to actually say they're good.
The Raiders over under in Vegas was a 7.5. Are you willing to bet the over or the under now that you've seen them play for two games? Because I would bet the over on 7.5. I'd be surprised if they finish under 500 with the start that they've gotten off to, with the talent that they have and their quarterback appearing to be back to what he was in 2016.
Yeah, I'll take the overs on that. They're going to win 8 or 9 games, which will win you your money, take your ticket to the window. But that's only because of what I just said. They get a crack at the Chargers twice. They get a crack at the Broncos twice. And those are bad football teams. I mean, if you told me the Broncos end up with a top 5 pick and the Chargers end up with a top 10 pick, I'm not going to be at all surprised. So let's say the Raiders can run the gamut against those four teams. They're already 2-0. That's 6 wins. So you got to play the overs there. But something tells me, man, the next few weeks, like, do you think they're going to beat the Patriots? No. Do you think they're going to beat the Bills? No. Do you think they're going to beat the Chiefs? No.
I'm not ready to definitively say they're not going to beat the Buffalo Bills. I mean, let's think about it. Like, I think Buffalo is a 10-11 win football team. Those losses got to come from somewhere. Going on the road to play in Las Vegas, you travel over two time zones in a game that, I mean, the advantage for Buffalo, if we're talking about on a percentage, is probably, what, 55-45? That's not a guaranteed win for the Buffalo Bills. So, I mean, I don't think they beat the Patriots. I'm not ready to say yet that they're not going to beat the Buffalo Bills. I look at Vegas as being a 9, maybe 10 win team. I look at the Buffalo Bills being a 10, maybe 11 win team. I don't think the gap between those two teams is that big.
If the Raiders win one of their next 3 games, then I'll start to say that they're okay. If they can win 2 of their next 3 games, I'll start to say they're for real. And if they can somehow beat all these teams, then we're going to have to really start talking about the Raiders. But my guess is that they don't beat the Patriots, the Bills, and they certainly don't beat the Chiefs in 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not ready to put them on the same level, not anywhere close to where the Kansas City Chiefs are. Not ready to put them on that level. But I have been impressed with what we've seen so far. And again, they can score points. They scored against Carolina and moved the football pretty effectively. Josh Jacobs ran for 3 touchdowns. Yesterday, against the Saints defense, again, I think the Saints have one of the 10 best defenses in the NFL. Derek Carr looked good. That's as well as Derek Carr has played in 4 games. And as good as Michael Thomas is, he ain't playing safety. He ain't playing corner. Derek Carr went out there and carved up that New Orleans defense. I think we got to give Carr a little bit of credit. I'd put them in the driver's seat right now to be one of those wild card teams. Speaking of the division, let's head to Denver right now and be joined by Josh Dover, who covers the Broncos for Altitude 92.5. Josh, the injury bug has certainly hit your Broncos, man.
Yeah, man, it certainly has. Good afternoon, fellas. Appreciate you having me on. It's bad. It's bad. Broncos country has turned dark on Twitter. They're tanking for Trevor. They're losing for Lawrence. It's all bad with the injury bug. Vaughn kind of started the party. And Cortland Sutton following this week, Drew Locke, A.J. Boye still been out. That's why Michael Ojemudia got picked on real bad Sunday. So it's a lot of people running around with their hair on fire here in Denver.
Josh, speaking of the injury bug, Drew Locke, he's out with an injury. What are you hearing about him, and how long are Broncos fans expecting Locke to be out?
Well, they're saying 3 to 5 weeks. There's no breaks, no tears, no none of that. It's just, as Coach put it yesterday, a bruise, a bad bruise, Vic Fangio calls it. So, you know, 3 on a good end, 5 on the back end. The good news is that he really took advantage of his rehab and stuff last year as a rookie with his thumb injury and battled back pretty quickly, or at least as quickly as he could. So he's going to take it serious. He's a starter this year. He appears to have done all of that, taking it serious, doing the right things in the off season. So that's what really stinks, though, about the injury, guys. This year is supposed to be about figuring out who he is and what he can or cannot do, and now you're going to be delayed at least 3 weeks. It just puts a hurt on his development, even if that's a possibility moving forward.
It's one thing, Josh, to pick up the phone and to call a random backup. Hell, the Chiefs did it and got Matt Moore. But why the hell would you call Blake Bortles?
That is a great question, fellas. Blake Bortles, since 2014, has thrown 75 interceptions and had a completion percentage lower than 60%. He's the only man on that list. And I get it, so that there are not a lot of options right now, but Blake Bortles, I was saying on my show this morning, but it's John Elway's bad quarterback list. I know you got your sports talk. You got that Brown song. You know, it's the edit, We Didn't Start the Fire.
Yeah.
John Elway ain't too far from making our own song out here with his bad quarterback list. Because outside of landing, you know, the giant fish that was Peyton Manning, which you give him credit for, and trust me, he gets plenty of that here in Denver. But outside of that, that dude's been swinging, missing on bad, bad quarterbacks. So I don't know either. I hope for Broncos fans' sake and for my eyeballs, because I got to watch it on Sunday too, that Blake doesn't play.
We Didn't Start the Fire. Harry Truman, Doris Day, Red China, Johnny Ray, South Pacific, Walter Wintle, Joe DiMaggio. We're talking with Josh Dover here on The Drive. Hey, speaking of Elway, Josh, I assume that he's got the job as long as he wants because he's John Elway, but that guy sucks when it comes to identifying talent at the quarterback position.
I'm glad you guys are also enjoying poking fun at Elway in Kansas City. I'm sure it's not uncommon, but he is. He's been bad, and this is something else. They don't have an owner, guys. There's nobody holding anybody accountable. Joe Ellis runs a trust but runs a team that John Elway kind of works for, I guess. You know, we don't really get any of that information, and when you ask them questions, they don't like that route that you're going. So, yeah, it's weird. He can kind of do whatever he wants. We've had conversations here on the show about Elway and Locke being his last chance at figuring this out. And I always say, the last chance at what? He's John Elway. He's not going to lose his job. He technically doesn't even have a boss right now to lose his job. But, man, he's been bad. And we're seeing the Raiders kind of draft develop with some guys on the roster, make trades, get guys in that they want. I thought the Broncos and Raiders were kind of on the same trajectory behind the Chiefs out there. Not even close. The Broncos are so far behind the Raiders in this division because of John's inability to build a roster.
Right now we're talking to Josh Dover of Altitude 92.5. Josh, last question here. Now with all the injuries that the Broncos are having, what are the expectations in Denver for them to accomplish? Because prior to the season, I thought that they could be a sleeper wild card team. That's out of the window with the injuries that they've had. What would be a good season for the Broncos?
Yeah, you're right. And that's what we talked about here, too. Maybe in the playoff discussion, wild card hunt like that. Right now, I mean, fan base, like I said, they're tanking for Trevor. They're all in on trying to get a quarterback because, you know, fan's going to fan. But I still believe it's figure out what Drew Locke is. You got to, even if you get him back in 5 weeks, you're still going to get plenty of tape on the kid, plenty of game action, and see how he can handle being an NFL quarterback. So throw the playoff expectations out the window. Throw even the playoff talk out the window, because this next month is going to be ugly in Denver. So now it's about figuring out what this roster really is. Courtland Sutton out for the year, you know he's going to be, you know, all right. He's going to be minimum a pretty good number two wide receiver. You got to figure out who Drew Locke is. And you got to get some dang offensive linemen in the draft. So it's about developing talent. That's pretty much it.
That was our trip out to Denver, Colorado with Josh Dover of Altitude 92.5 to tell us everything about the Broncos, who have been bitten by the injury bug. Josh, really appreciate you coming on today, man.
Appreciate you, fellas. Have a good one.
Stays in with a touchdown. Makes up for the fumble earlier. Jalen Richard for the score. And the Raiders expand on their lead.
That was Denver. Let's head to Las Vegas to be joined by Scott Goldbranson. He covers the NFL and the Raiders for Raider Nation Radio. Scott, let's start here. We're having this debate. Do you think the Raiders are good?
No, I think the Raiders are better. I think the Raiders have improved a lot. If you look at what they've done defensively, their defense is very young on the back end, particularly looking at Damon Arnett, the rookie, who had another great night Monday night. Yes, he made mistakes, but that's what rookies do. You look at the middle, Corey Littleton at linebacker, and Nick Kwiatkowski, who missed yesterday because of an injury. Yes, they are better. Are they good enough to unseat the Chiefs in the Western Division? I don't think so yet, but they are getting better. They're putting it together, and offensively, I would say yes, they're a very good team.
I'm not looking at the Raiders as being a viable challenger to the Chiefs yet either, but do you see the Raiders as being one of those wild card teams?
I do. I said before the season started, Carrington, that I looked at this Raider team and I thought 9-7 was the floor, the accepted floor, 10-6 the ceiling, meaning that they should be in contention for that final wild card spot with seven teams instead of six going in this season due to COVID and everything that happened in the offseason. So, yes, they should be. I mean, look, the first year John Gruden came back, the Raiders won four games. Last year they went 7-9, so naturally with infused talent, free agent acquisitions, an offense that Derek Carr has now been running for 3 years, 9 wins is not outside of the realm, and I think that's what most Raider fans expect, and that should be good enough to perhaps get them that final wild card spot.
Right now we're talking to Scott Goldbranson with Raiders Nation Radio in Las Vegas, 9:20 a.m. Scott, what's different with the Raiders this year than in years past?
Well, I think a couple things. Number one is Derek Carr has a chip on his shoulder, right? He's been, in his mind, him and his team have been disrespected. You've heard all the chatter over the years. You know, he talked about it after the game on Monday night, saying the day he and his wife and his children moved to Las Vegas, they picked the daily newspaper, and there was a picture of Tom Brady on the front with rumors about him becoming the Raider quarterback. So I think you look at Derek Carr, he's got that chip on his shoulder, but he's also been in this system now for 3 years. Notoriously, John Gruden's offensive system, his West Coast offense, very complex, especially from a terminology standpoint. It's taken him now 2 seasons to get familiar with it. In year three, he seems to have mastered it more. And last night, against the Saints, he went crazy. He went nuts. You know, there's been plenty of stars playing on the Las Vegas Strip, everybody from Elvis to Britney Spears to Lady Gaga. But I'll tell you right now, Derek Carr looks to be like that star on the Strip that the Raiders need leading that offense.
What I've been most surprised with the Raiders is just their ability to score. It's one thing to do it against Carolina, who I think teams are going to be able to score on, but it's another thing to do it to the Saints, who their perception is that they have a top five, top 10 defense in the league.
Yeah, that's exactly right, Carrington. I mean, you look at the Panthers and you say, okay, well, they have four rookies starting on defense. But the Saints are one of the most, I think, experienced and talented defenses in the league. And look what they were able to do. I mean, Darren Waller went nuts. Of course, the rise of the tight end, like you've seen there in Kansas City with Travis Kelce over the years. Darren Waller had a field day against the middle of that New Orleans defense. Went for 103 yards and a touchdown on 12 catches. And Derek Carr had almost a perfect night. I mean, there's very little. Early on, he struggled. He missed Henry Ruggs, the fast rookie out of Alabama, on a long pass, and it looked like the Raiders might start off really, really slow, and that could be bad with Drew Brees and the Saints. But they came right back, and yeah, 64 points in 2 weeks. And let's face it, in the division, in the AFC West, with what you're facing and how fast the Kansas City Chiefs can score, and even the Chargers have been showing the ability to do at times, you've got to be able to score, and the Raiders certainly are putting points on the board early in the season.
That is Scott Goldbranson with Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. in Las Vegas with a very surprising 2-0 Las Vegas Raiders. Thanks, Scott.
Take care, Harrington.
That was our trip around the AFC West with the Raiders and the Broncos. Both surprises for two very different reasons. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get into the top stories of the day in Kansas City and how I feel, even though we've only seen 2 weeks, we have an understanding of who the good teams are in the AFC. I think what it is with Derek Carr is we all have that player, we all have that team that no matter what, we just won't believe that they've turned things around. I feel like Derek Carr is that player for you. Like, I kind of feel that way about Ryan Tannehill. Like, I don't really care what Ryan Tannehill does. I've watched way too much Ryan Tannehill in my life to believe that he is a completely different player. Like, I'll never believe that the ceiling is super high on Ryan Tannehill. I feel like you're the same way with Derek Carr. Like you've seen enough that you are going to be unmoved by anything he does this season for you to kind of change your opinion on
him. Well, I've always liked my quarterbacks to, you know, throw touchdowns. Am I crazy? That's one thing I like my quarterback to do. This guy's got 130 touchdown season. One. Average quarterbacks do that now, or at least good ones. And that was all the way back in 2015. Remember when we pretended like he actually had a chance to win the MVP?
He did. Late. I thought he did.
Since then, 28 touchdowns, 22, 19, 21. And I will say he's off to a good start this year with 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. But it's 2 games against 2 very suspect defenses. You keep mentioning the Raiders can score, and they can. 34 their first game, 34 last night. Let me do some quick math. That averages out to be 34 points per game. The problem is they're not playing any defenses that can stop them. So let's see what happens here in the next month when they play some actual football teams.
I wouldn't put the Saints defense in that category. Carolina's defense, I think, is fair. I wouldn't put the Saints category in one of the worst defenses. In the NFL. I think their defense is pretty good. I think there's a lot of talent on that team. I'm high on the Saints defense.
Well, coming up, you got the Chiefs. Coming up, you got the Patriots. So much more proven defenses than the first couple that you've faced. And in the case of Derek Carr, another thing that I like my quarterback to do besides, you know, throw touchdowns, is win football games. And he's had, what, one winning season? This is the sixth year that he's now been their starter. So at some point, it can't be about give me respect and this is our year and all these things. Bro, you threw 21 touchdowns last year, 19 the year before that, and 22 the year before that. You're just not a star quarterback. That's not to say that he can't be a starting quarterback in the league. He clearly is. And for the Raiders system and with that coach, John Gruden, I think that he can be good enough. Can he be good enough to actually, you know, win a division, win a playoff game? Do you think he can?
I don't think he's good enough to win the division because they have Patrick Mahomes in the division.
No way,
again,
not
I just
even close.
I guess I liked Derek Carr in 2016. I do think some of it has been circumstances. I think he was a little skittish after the injury. I think they've had a lot of turnover. This is now his third year in the system. I'm willing to at least open my mind up that he's turned the corner a little bit. I just have him with a little higher ceiling than you are. Ultimately, I think maybe the best he can be is like the 13th best quarterback in the NFL. But I do think there's a lot of talent on that team. I do think they can be a 9-10 win football team and be a wild card team. And who knows what happens at least in the first round of the playoffs. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We had an ear on Los Angeles sports talk. Shockingly enough, they were actually talking about the Los Angeles Chargers. I know, I'm stunned by it too. Here's what they said about their quarterback situation with Tyrod Taylor.
I feel like one thing is that, you know, he did play well yesterday. He did play well. But I think Anthony's right. You know, he can't lose his job because of the injury. I mean, and they didn't win the football game. If they'd have won the football game, maybe so. Maybe it'd have been something that maybe it'd have been something that he possibly could have, you know, kept the job. I don't believe in that. I believe you give what you got a chance, you know, to get his job back. But he did a good job of pushing the ball downfield, I gotta say. I mean, he pushed the ball downfield. He made, you know, a rookie mistake, and he, you know, but we used to seeing that, you know, with Phillip Rivers, and I hate to keep jumping on Phillip Rivers. Man, he's not a rookie, you know, yeah. throwing interception at the end of the, about to win the game, and end up losing the game. But I thought he played fantastic.
That was Los Angeles Sports Talk. That was them saying that they don't think that Tyrod Taylor can lose his job to injury. Bro, this is big-time NFL football. Now, it's unfortunate what happened to Tyrod Taylor, but if he's out for 2 weeks – and Herbert continues to play good football, it's just not a, hey, we'll give the job back to Tyrod because of some rule that people made up to make themselves feel good about it. Like, the job should be on the line. Now, maybe Anthony Lynn doesn't want to open his mind to it being the case. Maybe Herbert develops in a way that he wasn't anticipating. But I don't subscribe to this. You can't lose your job by injury. The best man should play. And if you come to the conclusion by week four, week five, that the best quarterback for this team is Justin Herbert, then you give the job to Justin Herbert.
And there's absolutely no future with Tyrod Taylor. They signed him to be the stopgap. He's 31 years old, almost 32. You got a guy that's 10 years younger than him that looked pretty damn good his first time out. We were just talking about Derek Carr. If you said, Sean, you can take any quarterback in this division, not named Patrick Mahomes, I don't think I'm taking Derek Carr. I don't think I'm taking Drew Lock. I think I'm taking Justin Herbert. And a lot of that is just based on what I saw on Sunday, where he didn't look gun shy. He was going up against Patrick Mahomes, nationally televised game. That was a lot of pressure. And if he went out there and looked okay and the team got their ass kicked, then I wouldn't say any of this. But quite frankly, I thought that he overachieved and the team went toe to toe with him the entire time. So I think that Justin Herbert might be the best young quarterback in this division, not named Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, we'll certainly see. I don't want to just kind of judge it off 30 something throws, because I wasn't super high on Justin Herbert coming out at the very beginning of the during the draft process. I mean, we'll find out about the Chargers and we'll find out where Justin Herbert is. I don't really know if we're going to see Tyrod Taylor this week. I mean, they're going up against a defense that everybody's been able to score against in Carolina. I think Carolina has one of the 8 worst defenses in the NFL. Let's see how Herbert plays in that situation. Now, teams know you're the starter. They got a full game to watch you play. They got a chance to see what you did well, what you didn't do well, and adjust to you. It was just kind of sprung on you. And I would say, after that first drive where the Chargers went down the field pretty easily, I thought the Chiefs defended Herbert really well the rest of the game. So I think there were some encouraging things from Herbert. I think there were some discouraging things, but I'm not ready to throw him in that mix just yet.
Yeah, I was looking for the line because I was kind of expecting that game to be sort of a pick 'em. The Chargers are big favorites to beat Carolina. Like you said, everybody scores on Carolina. The Chargers are a touchdown favorite. I know Rob's been trying to tell us about Los Angeles, and he was bragging in our text chain. I told you they were going to keep the game close. I don't know if that's a good football team, and I certainly don't think they're a touchdown better than the Panthers.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. We have only seen 2 weeks of NFL action, but I think we know who the contenders are in the AFC. I'll tell you who they are. Stick around. It's a drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.